Many of us have had to stay home for the last few weeks, but throughout the lockdown, transportation workers have been on the job, making sure that doctors and nurses made it to their hospitals and that food and other supplies made it to store shelves. The AFL-CIO includes 32 unions representing these transportation workers, and we welcome now the man in charge, the president of the AFL-CIO Transportation and Trades Department, Larry Willis. So, Mr. Willis, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a sense of how many transportation workers that you represent, and how many of them have remained on the job throughout this?
Well, thanks for having me on this afternoon. And I would say a huge majority of our members have been deemed essential by both the federal government and state and local governments and are working today, to your point, getting doctors and nurses to where they need to go, getting other essential employees where they need to go. And we can't forget about freight. Obviously, we all get to the grocery store. That food doesn't magically appear there. So whether we're talking about rail workers, truck drivers, workers at our seaport, maritime workers, aviation workers that obviously fly both passengers and freight, our members are working today and really have been during this whole COVID-19 pandemic.
So you have a lot of workers that remained on the job, and we all are thankful for what they've done for all of us. At the same time, we now have an economic downturn. Are some of your workers also losing their jobs?
There's no question that, you know, we are seeing the economic pressures on the transportation space. I'll just give you a couple of examples. On freight rail, you know, this is a workforce that, quite frankly, we think the rail carriers have already trimmed quite a bit and unnecessarily so, and there's been some safety issues there. But we know just in the COVID-19 space that, you know, we have seen five times the number of unemployment claims into the Railroad Retirement Board that has their separate system for this than it was compared to a year ago. So, you know, again, a sector that, you know, people think are healthy because, you know, again, people do, are buying products at the grocery store, at the big box stores, definitely using mail orders and Amazon and what have you. But, you know, we are seeing slower traffic in some places. You know, rail workers, again, are seeing the impact of that. And we know there's less traffic at seaports as well. So a lot of economic pressure on public transit as well. So maybe not as much as hotels or casinos or some other places, but there's definitely downward pressure on jobs in the transportation sector.
Are you seeing them start to come back at all? We had that one jobs numbers that surprised the upside. There's still a lot of people out of work, let's be clear, but still it surprised the upside. Are you seeing it come back at all?
Yeah, I mean, you point to the positive jobs number, but obviously that sort of compared to just the devastation we've seen in the economy. You know, people are using transportation more. We see higher density on our transit systems. People are starting to fly again. There's more people on aircraft. But I think the economic peril that the entire nation is in and that our transportation system remains in is very significant. And I think Congress needs to think very carefully about both making sure that we have the right health and safety protections in place to make sure that customers feel confident about coming back to transportation, whether it's on the transit or aviation, commuter rail and track side. But, you know, also to provide the financial support that we know is going to be needed to get our transportation providers over this hump, and quite frankly, to protect the broader economy here, because there's a lot of economic pain still to be had in this crisis.
So, Larry, you just put right in front of us the two alternatives. On the one hand, you need to support people who've lost their jobs. You need to invest in the structure. But on the other hand, you got to protect the people who are on the job. And those people have been concerned about right through. I mean, the bus drivers and the truck drivers,
yeah,
making sure,
yeah,
they're protected. What do you need from Washington, whether it's Congress or regulatory agencies, to accomplish what you need there?
Yeah, so, really since this began in early March, we were very early out asking the Department of Transportation, which regulates, health and safety in the various modes of transportation, And the broader labor movement was making a similar push for OSHA to come in with an emergency temporary standard to protect workers more broadly. But on the transportation side specifically, we've asked this Department of Transportation to make sure that our members are getting the personal protective equipment, whether it's masks or gloves or whatever else they need, making sure that our workplaces are disinfected in the right way pursuant to CDC guidelines, and making sure that we have social distancing policies that, you know, we know work that can be implemented, you know, in the workplace. And I have to say, you know, while some employers have been better than others, it's been a real stretch there to get people to do the right thing. The federal government really has been missing an option here. We've been unable to get the mandatory safety rules that would put these protections in place from this Department of Transportation. They've issued guidelines, they've issued guidance, and that's all well and fine, but our experience is that unless you have enforceable provisions in the law, unless you are telling transit agencies, railroads, Amtrak, what have you, that these are the protections that are needed that we know can save lives, it's not going to get done at a national universal basis.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the OSHA issues and where OSHA has been on this and whether there has to be congressional legislation, maybe included in that HEROES Act that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is talking to. Thank you very much, Larry, for being with us. Really appreciate it. That is Larry Willis of the AFL-CIO.